The Lord bless you. You can tell somebody else is going to teach. Sister Donna was in the rotation to teach today, but she was asked to speak in Kenai for Mother's Day. So we have a guest that's here, and he graciously volunteered to take the lesson and prepared all month for it. So that's good. So, Brother Sirstad, come and share the word of the Lord with us. Amen. Your customized podium here, it'll work good.
Thank you. Hopefully this doesn't make you folks too uncomfortable. I figured if I have the option of having it higher to where I can see, even with glasses, it just seems like the eyes aren't working like they used to. I started teaching the adult class when I was 30 years old. And when I think probably out of the last 30 years I've taught the adult class, 20 of those 30 years, when I started teaching, I was the youngest one for whatever reason in the class. For several years, I was the youngest one. I haven't taught for a few years, but that's no longer the case. No longer the case. Let's pray as we enter this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness today. We thank you for your presence this day that you have made, for this great weather you provided for us. We pray, Lord, as we get into your word today, that it would become a light unto our path, that it would liven us, Jesus. We give you glory and honor, Lord, and praise your name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the first time I've ever attempted to teach in this newfangled curriculum that PPH put out a few years ago, started, which is a good thing. And today is the beginning of a new series number 3, which is entitled You Must Be Born Again. Anybody here ever heard that story before? You must be born again. Teaching where I at the church I attend currently, which I've been at for, 18, 19 years or something like that. At some point while I was teaching, we teach in a different room, or we did when we had Sunday school before you know what. There was somebody that would go into the auditorium, one of the adults, and they wouldn't go back into the adult class even when I wasn't teaching. So I know it wasn't me. But one of the comments she made was that I don't want to go there into the class because I've already heard it all. And so it's good to hear some things a second time. It's good to be reminded of some things in the Word of the Lord and keep things fresh within us. So today's lesson is entitled, does everybody have handbooks? Do you do that here, handout? Is there student books? Nice. So the lesson, I'm gonna go ahead and act like you don't have one. The lesson today is entitled Dead or Alive. And I'm gonna give you the series overview since you didn't read it. So this series, You Must Be Born Again, will look closely at the New Testament plan of salvation. And there's four lessons. This is the first of four, and they will highlight the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for our sins, along with the necessity of repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this series will present foundational truths with fresh fervor. I read that this morning and say, I thought, I really stuck my foot in my mouth when I volunteered to teach this class. If I had read the fresh fervor part, I might not be standing here, because I don't feel like there's a whole lot of fresh fervor. But maybe 3 out of 4. So there we go. And what's going to be presented in fresh fervor is believing God will stir those who have not yet responded to the gospel. So the gospel meaning good news. And it is good news. It's still good news. And it's the kind of news that we need to hear more, certainly in this day and age. There is a lesson, big idea, that I will give you. It is, I will trust that the sacrifice Jesus made for me is sufficient for my sins. Let me just jump into the deep end of the pool. And I can't promise you that this lesson is going to, in fact, I can promise you this lesson's not going to come out as it is on paper. But you'll get something. But this big idea, I will trust that the sacrifice Jesus made for me is sufficient for my sins. We have a lot of folks that have been serving God for a variety of years that really struggle with the idea of personal forgiveness, that God is capable of forgiving them of their sins. And we have a lot of people that have been that serve God that believe that God loves the world and that God forgives everybody, but just not me. And that's the way that they live. And I have come to a conclusion, and I may be wrong. I don't think so, but if I am, forgive me. But my thought, or one of my thoughts, few thoughts that I have in life, is that the forgiveness that God extends to us is only effective if we accept it. And a lot of times we go through life serving God and we say, God, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. And he does, because he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, but we don't let him. And we become a major obstacle in the way of what God would enjoy and love and has actually already paid the price for. To accomplish. Our focus verses today, Romans 5:17 through verse 19, Paul writes, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they will receive abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," referring to Adam, "so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous," referring to Jesus. God has provided in his mercy, he has provided a way for people to be free from the penalty of sin and restored to spiritual life. And I'm thankful for that today. We used to sing a song, "Free, free, free, I have been set free. I have met the man from Galilee. He took away my sins, my heavy load of sins, and now I'm singing glory, hallelujah." Amen. So, a few years ago, the Lord looked upon the earth, and it was without form and void. And he began to speak some words, began to say some things, And the world as it was, the earth began to respond and the heavens began to respond to the voice of God. And it's the creation story is very, it's a very interesting one. It's one that apparently is so complex that many of the educated people of our world are not able to grasp. And so they have to come up with ideas that an amoeba one day came out of the water and found its way onto the ground, and that one cell, amoeba, became two cells, and then it became three, and billions and trillions of years later, here we are today. I mean, that sounds so much simpler, right? Or there's others that say, well, there was this big bang and this explosion, and here we are. And that sounds so much simpler, yes. I can grasp the concepts behind that. So much easier to believe that there is a God that knows us, that cares for us, that loves us, that created us. And that's what he did. That's what the Lord did. He with his hands, such as they were, got some dirt together and created, formed man out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says that a man became a living soul. We fast forward a few years, and a fellow by the name of Paul wrote some words to the Thessalonians that said that we are body, soul, and spirit. And when we die, our body goes back to the ground, which it came from initially. And our spirit goes back to God, who gave it, who breathed it into us. But our soul lives forever. And our soul defines who we are. It is the most, should be the most precious thing that we own, which we do. It is ours. We have free will, which we're going to find out about. Very, very important to understand that there are those components to us, and it is the soul that will live forever. And it is a soul that is living today and determines who we do, who we are, and how we act, and just so many interesting things that go along with that. So God gave to humans, of which the world is populated with today, and inclusive to that gift, he gave to Adam and Eve and to us this freedom to be able to choose. And we find that option given many times in Scripture. Joshua said that. He put the children of Israel to test one day, and he said, choose you this day who you're going to serve. And fast forward a little bit more, and a fella by the name of Elijah is standing on top of Mount Carmel looking at a bunch of reprobates and said, choose you this day who God is. And if God is the God of fire, then if God be God, then let him be God. If Baal be God, then let him. But make a choice. And there's so many times that people sit on the fence in life and they can't make that choice. I remember as a much younger person, probably 10, 11, 12, somewhere, well, 10, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there, we had, where we lived in Calgary, Alberta, we had a picket fence. And it was about a 6-foot fence, or maybe 7. All I know is at the time I couldn't see over it, and I think I've always been 6'7", so it was. Feels like I have, but it had a 2x4 sticking out just before there's a wood, whatever those things are, or whatever those are called, picket fence, I think, but it had a wood, a 2x4, enough to where I could, if I was careful, I could walk on. which I attempted on more than one occasion. And on one of them, I kind of lost my balance, and I sat down. And I found out that picket fences are not real comfortable to stay on. You just don't stay there very long. And I made a choice. And many of you, I'm sure, in life have made choices. Well, God gave to Adam and Eve, and through them, us, a choice of how we're going to live. And it's just not comfortable trying to serve God and man. It's not comfortable trying to serve God and self. It's not comfortable trying to serve God one day and then do our own thing the next day. That gets very uncomfortable. And James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so it's important, even as apostolics, and I work with apostolics on a daily basis throughout the country and our neighboring country. And even with apostolics, we struggle with making decisions to do what's right and to follow Scripture. There's just still, you know, God, when he gave us the Holy Ghost, he didn't take the ability to choose out of us. He didn't take our flesh out of us. And John the Baptist, he came upon a key when he said that he must increase. So because he must increase, something else has got to give. And that was him himself. He recognized that if I want God to increase in my life, then I've got to decrease. My will has got to diminish on a daily basis, which I think is part of the process of perfection. But anyway, so this idea of having a choice is really a blessing and a curse. And a lot of folks can't comprehend that there's bad things that happen in the world. Why is there bad things that happen in the world? Well, it's because there's a God that created good. And because there's good, there is bad, the potential of bad. Because there is positive, there's a potential of negative. And he gave us the ability to choose. And there are consequences to our choice. So, sometimes we are benefiting from the consequences of our choices. Sometimes we benefit from the consequences of other people's choice. But there is choice. And so it's always in our best interest, really, to choose to serve the Lord on any given day throughout the day. There's a verse in Genesis, two verses in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Says, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And we know this, we're not going to get into the story in depth this morning, but we know that there was some kind of relationship between this serpent and Adam and Eve. And on a particular day, we find a conversation. I don't believe it was the first conversation between them. But I can't back that up scripturally. That's my personal belief. And so we find out that there was this conversation going on. And one of those trees was good, and one of those trees was not good. One of those trees was enabling them to continue to live in the garden, and one of those trees was going to introduce death to them, which it did. And so we know how they chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they made that choice. Why is it that the tree was there in the first place? Well, how many of you would enjoy living under a dictatorship? The potential certainly is there, as we have seen in recent months, last couple of years, how our government's able to put that together. But there are countries that currently are led by a dictator. and people have, they don't have a choice of what they're going to do in certain things. And they're going to either follow the line, or they're going to cease to exist, or be placed behind bars or somewhere that's not comfortable for them. Why is it that there are dictatorships? Because if it was not a dictatorship, the dictator would not be in power, because people would not want to serve, or they would not want to be ruled by somebody that was like them. And so they have to lead by force, by power, by dictatorship. Well, God is not a dictator, and he's not going to force us to do what is good. He doesn't force us to do what is right. Even when he gives us the Holy Ghost, he does not force us to choose one way or the other. Paul came on a clue at one point in his life. Paul is considered to be a strong-willed fellow. And he came upon this understanding that I've got to die out every day, my will. I gotta crucify my will on a daily basis, not a weekly basis, but every day. I gotta crucify my will. And that was the only way that he was able to sustain himself in Christ. That's the only way he was able to make the proper decisions, was for it to be the will of God, not his own will. And even Jesus as a man, we know, struggled and wrestled with God. That had to be an interesting, if we were able to envision that or to see that in real life, Jesus as man struggling with Jesus as God and wrestling back and forth, and the humanity of Christ wanting to go, if there's another way that we can do this, if there's got to be another plan. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was fixing to happen. There's a few people that have experienced extreme stress as he did, and he sweat as it were great drops of blood, and that is a human something that does happen to a few when they are under extreme, extreme stress. And that's where he was, and yet he came to the place. He had to crucify his flesh before his flesh. He had to crucify his will before his flesh got crucified. Even as God in man, the humanity. So when we have the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean there's no battles anymore. That doesn't mean there's no wrestling. And I hear stories of people that have fought the good fight for several years, and then they go a different direction, and they say, oh, it's so peaceful, and so there's no more battle. Well, of course there's no more battle. There's no more fighting going on. They have capitulated, as it were. And so let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's not be weary in the battle. There is a God that has promised not to abandon us, not to leave us, and he will be with us through the end of our days, however that looks. And thankful for that today. So Jesus ended up saying, not my will, but thine be done. And that was an example for us. There's things that, as humans, there's things we want to do, or there's things we don't want to do. But we know that this is the direction that God has for us, and we have to come to that same understanding, that same place. Not my will. It can't be my will. It's got to be your will. You know, there's things I would like to do, but I don't do them because I have a sneaking suspicion they're not his will. Amen. So, what happened when Eve and Adam, when they ate that fruit, whatever it was, some people think it was an apple, they weren't there. Some people think maybe it was a fig, which could have been. But whatever it was, they eat of it, and there's something changed. Something began to change. And we know that they didn't die physically at that moment, but they began that process. The process began in their bodies, but there was a different death that took place. There was a separation that took place. There was a spiritual death that took place between them and God. And we can read how all that took place. The Lord came down into the garden as was his daily. In the evening, in the cool of the evening, he would come down and they would visit him and Adam and Eve, and they would just talk about all kinds of things, I suppose, whatever they'd done during the day and plans for tomorrow and new ideas that humanity was having, and they would communicate those with God. But on this particular day, Adam and Eve, they decided they were going to hide from God. Interesting concept. And it didn't work. And they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. Paul wrote of this expulsion from Eden in a variety of places within Romans, also Ephesians, but Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. 14 through 15, 17, 21. I'll give you some snippets. They've got New King James on these. And they write here, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered," which we read, "into the world, the death and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." And then another snippet, "Death reigned from Adam to Moses." And another snippet, By the one man's offense, many died. And again, by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. And then another snippet, sin reigned in death. And Ephesians 2, 1 and 5 parts of those. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead in sins. And so all of us at one point have experienced spiritual death, or actually not come to spiritual life when sin takes place. There is the danger of that, but thankfully the Lord has given us an attorney that stands before the Father and pleads our case. And when we ask for forgiveness, he is, again, faithful and just to forgive us not just of some of our sins, but I believe the Word says all of our sins. All of them. And that's really pretty cool. There's some things that we try to hang on to, and we shouldn't. We don't have to. He forgives us of all of our sins. And so there was on that day, there was a spiritual death that took place. There was the beginning of a physical death that took place. And we know that the Scripture says, the wages of Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. It's not necessarily a reference to physical death that everyone's going to experience, but it's a separation of relationship, of fellowship with God. We cannot serve the flesh. We cannot sin and expect to have a healthy relationship with the Lord. The two doesn't mix. Sin and God mix like oil and water. They just don't. You can't, as much as you try to churn them together, we cannot get to have that happen. There's always going to be a separation. And we know that sin began with one man, Adam, ushered in sin into the world. And then we know the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he paid the price for those sins previous to him and after him, which we're thankful for and just celebrated not too long ago. Again, the Easter story and how Christ rose again. And because he lives, we can live also. Amen. So, the lesson goes on here with the idea that we have the understanding that all have sinned. When do I need to stop? Quarter till what? Okay. Quarter. All right. It's good to know. So all have sinned. Which includes all of us. We've all sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, that's kind of a past tense, fall short is present tense. There are times even when we have the Holy Ghost, when we've been forgiven of all sin. That doesn't mean we never sin again. But if and when we sin, we do have an advocate that was referred to in Christ Jesus. And we're thankful for that, and we don't have to hang on to that sin, and which goes back to what I initially said close to the beginning, is so many times we struggle to let go of things that God has already forgiven us of, and there's times we struggle to let go of the things, the weights that doth so easily beset us. Christ has set us free. He has made us free, and those that are free indeed, right? We know that, and yet there's sometimes we refuse to let that happen, and we sabotage the freedom that Christ has given, has paid the price for us, and it's like sometimes a tug of war between us and God. We don't want to let go, and he's pulling, and we're pulling. Anyway, we've all walked that road. We've all come to that place, and all of us need a Savior. All of us need a Savior. And I'm thankful. And if the way I put this is offensive, then forgive me. I will depart somewhere down the road and get out of your hair, so to speak. But I'm thankful that I'm dumb enough to just simply believe the gospel message. I'm thankful that I'm able to just believe that I have a Savior and that He loves me and that He paid a price for me. And that's a really cool thing. Jesus came to offer Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So we talked about Adam and then the second Adam, which is in reference to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:45 reads, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." So to be able to grasp the significance of this verse as it relates to salvation, it's important that we read it in its context or its immediate context. In its larger context, it's part of Paul's defense of the reality of resurrection, which was denied by some in Corinth. And so I read for you this morning 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44, and then also 46 to 47. Paul writes, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." And there's a key phrase there in verse 45 that says, "The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And Jesus, like Adam, was a living soul. We know that, but he was more than that. He was a quickening spirit. He was a life-giving spirit. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Who is he writing to? He was writing to the church. And so we can take that as words for our benefit. And we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of us when we seek him, when we reach out to him, that he will hear us and that he will do what we are requesting according to his word. There's a contrast between wages and gift in Romans chapter 6 and 23. We earn wages by the work we do. When you get up in the morning and you go to work, you're going to be compensated, at least if you're an employee. You may or may not be compensated if you're the owner. But if you're the employee, you should be able to expect some compensation. Those are your wages. You get some money in return for your effort that you expend. All right, so then we don't, when it comes to gifts, you don't earn gifts. You know, when it's your birthday, if somebody is nice and gives you a gift, or some of you that are of the fair gender, of which, surprisingly enough, there are two. If you Google that, there's about 122, but 124, I think, somewhere, unless it's gone up in the last 2 months. But in the beginning, it was not so. There was just two, and I stand on that today also. And so the fairer one of those two, there's going to be some gifts handed out, is my understanding, later on today. Hope I didn't spoil the surprise, if there is a surprise. let the cat out of the bag there, maybe. But you might think that you earned what you're going to get, and you probably did. So let's come up with another example of birthdays or Christmas. And you don't earn those gifts. When people give them to you, they give them to you because they want to. And it's a gift. You don't pay for them. There's really no cost there that you exchange. It's a gift that is free. And so the wages of sin is death. Wages, the sin takes its toll on you. And there really is effort that comes as a result of that. And the benefit of that is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You cannot earn the gift of God. You cannot earn that eternal life. That is something that a dictator is not going to give to you. But because of that choice, because you chose to serve him and to accept that gift that you didn't earn, that I didn't earn, but because you chose that, you have the ability to live with him for eternity. And what a better choice that is than the alternative. Amen. According to Paul, this is the gospel in its most succinct form, in that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So to receive the benefit of this good news, it's essential to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Somebody accused Peter of knowing who Jesus was. And Peter said, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know him. And then cock-a-doodle-doo did its thing. And it hit him in the heart. And he recognized, well, he didn't stay that way forever. Right. A few days later, he got a hold of something, got a hold of him. And it wasn't a chicken. It was something real. It was the Spirit of God. And he became a different man. He got bold in front of people. And no longer was he refusing the idea that he knew him. He was standing before all kinds of folks, preaching to them the good news of the gospel and telling them that they must repent and that they must be baptized in Jesus' name. And when they would follow through on that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which was a gift that they didn't earn. And that message is still true today. It's for us and to all that are far off, to those that are in Sterling and those that are in Soldotna, and even to those unto the unto Kenai and Anchorage and all throughout this great state of Alaska. And I have a suspicion that it includes the contiguous states also, for which I am thankful for, and other countries throughout the world. Christ died that we might be set free. That was not a suggestion. Peter didn't stand up there that day and make a suggestion. He didn't say this is one of many. He didn't say this is an alternative. He said you must be born again. He said you must repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's stand and let's thank the Lord for that good news of the gospel here for just a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning. Thank you that it never gets old. Thank you for the freshness of your word today and the promise that you have fulfilled time and time and time again, and even will yet do so today as many experience that for the first time. I give you glory and honor, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Jesus.